Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's Friday, my favorite day of the week, and probably most of yours. With this Friday comes another new edition of Listen In with KNN. Now, today's show will bring you sports talk and fun with no filter as I welcome in special guest Mr. Robert Littall to the show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my favorite segment of my show, Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week, where today I have the honor and privilege of honoring Mark Hyacin, the president and founder of Men Against Breast Cancer. Now, Men Against Breast Cancer was honored with this week's Do Good Award, MABC, as they are also known, because they are the first and only national 501c3 nonprofit organization that is designed to provide targeted support services that educate and empower men to be effective caregivers when cancer strikes. In essence, it helps men be there for the woman they love when breast cancer strikes. Since the nonprofit's founding in 1999, MABC has mobilized men across America, including serving underserved populations, to be active participants in the fight against breast cancer. Their philosophy is simple: to leverage the support of the whole family to help the patient, with special emphasis on the important role of men in caring for the woman they love. Never before has any organization taken such a unique an integrative approach through the implementation of proven programs to educate men on their important responsibilities as caregivers. To develop these tools, they continue to work in partnership with a variety of groups, such as internationally recognized medical experts who specialize in the psycho and social aspects of coping with cancer. Leading medical facilities, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, state and local government, as well as corporate partners. So once again, I would like to honor Men Against Breast Cancer for earning this week's Kelsey's Do Good Award. Now, there's still a lot of show left, as I have yet to welcome today's firecracker of a guest, the one and only Mr. Robert Littall. So it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites, from their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes. Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome today's special guest to the show, another Robert, after we previously had on Robert Jackson earlier this week, but this time it's Mr. Robert Littall. Robert, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm so happy to be on this show. It's been popping. I've been seeing it all over social media.
Well, thank
all
you.
Of the great guests that you, yeah, all the great guests you have on. I'm like, I feel special and privileged that you took the time out to have me on.
It's truly my honor. I mean, Robert, you are everywhere. Literally, even if it's people I don't know, I see Black Sports Online somewhere. It's all over social media. You truly have owned social media, Robert, through your Black Sports Online brand. And I mean, with that being said, Robert, I didn't even need to do a bio for you. I mean, because everybody knows you already, and you truly don't need an introduction. But I just want to hear from you. I mean, did you ever think Black Sports Online would get to the heights that it's reached today?
No, absolutely not. All I really wanted, and this is true, this is not a lie or anything, All I ever really wanted was to be able to go to a couple of games.
Right. Right, just to be in the atmosphere, right? Like everybody.
You know, I would be happy. I when I started BSO, it wasn't necessarily that I did it because I BSO was going to be like this big brand and mm-hmm. ownership and branch out. I was just doing it because I had like a regular job. I was working
right.
at the call center.
Okay.
And my dad was like, you know, we spent all this money for you to go to college. You know, what are you using your degree on? And I was like, well, I better have something where I could, you know, keep my writing skills sharp and then I can
right.
hope that I can get a job in media. But, you know, circumstances and being at the right place at the right time and the way technology has changed since I started,
mm-hmm.
I could have never predicted that. I mean, when I started, people were just starting to get high-speed internet. Like, a lot of people still had dial-up.
Oh, my God, you're taking us way back.
Yeah. Like, there was no DVRs. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. There was no Snapchat. Facebook, you had to have a college email to be on
mm-hmm.
Facebook.
Right.
MySpace was popping back then.
the good old MySpace.
There was no iPhone. BlackBerry was the big phone back then, and they went out of business.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I mean, who even has those anymore?
Hey, that kind of allowed me to do what I do now. So I'm forever grateful that I just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Oh, my gosh. And, I mean, obviously, you truly were because, I mean, now, I mean, you guys have so many followers. People look to your site first to get news. I mean, even when I saw Black Sports Online on TMZ, you know if you're on TMZ, Robert, you've made it. And then you're out there now in L.A. I mean, it's crazy. But just, I mean, for journalists out there who obviously just want to get into the field and you're talking about starting your own thing, is that kind of the next wave of people kind of getting into this industry, you know, becoming bloggers and starting their own sites? Or do you think people should still follow the kind of stereotypical mold, you know, of trying to get into a media organization in order to grow?
Well, I think these days it's a gift and a curse. It's a catch-22. Because there's so many ways to get into media without actually having to have a media job. But
right.
because of that, there's a lot more competition. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I started, it wasn't a lot of like sports sites, independent sports sites out there.
Right.
So I wasn't competing against a whole bunch of people. But that all changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now then everybody, for a while, everybody had a sports site. But now
right.
things have changed. You can be a YouTuber,
yep.
blogger,
and make millions.
I see these kids on YouTube now that make millions of dollars just
Isn't
from
that crazy?
You know, yeah, just from like talking
funny
about
videos.
Video games. Yeah,
yeah.
Or one of the guys that I follow, I know he does a lot of the like the movies, Easter eggs in the movie and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could be on Instagram, you know,
right.
if you have a great Instagram following, you can monetize that, you know, Twitter, obviously,
yeah.
you can turn that
Instagram
into stuff.
Instagram models and Twitter models
yeah,
and
Instagram
whatever
Instagram models. Yeah, so now, you know, you don't necessarily have to do, even though I still encourage it, you don't have to do the four-year college and,
right.
you know, write for the local paper and, you know,
mm-hmm.
do all of the traditional stuff that we had to do.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, there's still something, you know, to that. So
okay.
I think now it's an accelerated way. Like you don't have to, let's just say you do work for your local newspaper and they got you doing the overnight shift and high school
right.
basketball or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't stop you from, right. That doesn't stop you from doing your own YouTube channel, doing your
right.
own Twitter follow to get yourself known
mm-hmm.
By bigger outlets. So I think
right.
it's still in the end, it's about are you outworking the other person? If you work hard
right.
enough at anything, and that's what I always try to tell young journalists is that don't you still got to put in the work no matter what avenue you do. You got to put in, you know, you got to outwork because there's somebody else that's sitting there that's working harder than you. If you're getting up at 8, somebody's getting up at 7. If you're going to sleep
right.
at 10, somebody's going to sleep at midnight. So you got to take all of that into consideration when you're doing your work.
Exactly right. And, you know, Robert, I want to go back to your Black Sports Online site because I know it's something that you probably get asked every single day on social media. But I want you to kind of explain the story behind why you picked that name for your website.
Well, it's funny because I was a lot younger back then. And sometimes when you're young, you can be defiant, you know. Because that's how young people are, you know. You don't think, you're like, I can do whatever. And my situation at that time was I wouldn't call it angry, but I've always been like, you know, I love sports. I've always wanted to do sports media. But it always irked me how the media portrayed the athlete. Especially the Black athlete.
Right.
You know, it always seemed a little biased. It always seemed 2000s or whatever. And back then, in the early 2000s, if you went into a newsroom or you went into an event, you would see 90-95% older white males.
Mm-hmm.
And these white males talking about Black athletes. And they were the ones that were framing the narrative to the country. And it wasn't like now. Now, if an athlete doesn't like something that's said about him, he can go on his Twitter. He can go on his Instagram.
Right. He can respond right back.
He can make a video. He can respond right back. You know,
it
was different back then. Back then, if Joe Buck called you a thug, then the country thought you were a thug.
Right.
So my idea behind Black Sports Online was, first off, is that, hey, there's not enough minorities in this industry. And also, you got to remember, back then, there wasn't a lot of ways to see your face. It's not like now. Like, you didn't know what your reporters looked like back then.
That's true.
There was no social media. So these guys that were writing and stuff like that, you maybe knew the guys on TV. You knew John Madden or whatever, right? But in general, you didn't know what these guys looked like. So, especially the people that wrote on the website. They never showed their face. So if I did, you know, sports online all day.com or whatever, right? You don't know who I am.
Right.
You know, you don't know if I'm a Black guy, white guy, Hispanic guy, fat guy, skinny guy. I'm just a random guy that's old girl that can be whatever writing about sports. To me, that at that point, it was like, it had no meaning behind it. I was just another person in the vast universe. So I said, well, what can I do to change that? And what a lot of people don't understand is that the site, the URL, of course, is Black Sports Online. But when I started, the full name of the site was Robert Littal Presents Black Sports Online. And the reason that I said it like that is that I wanted people to know who I was. I wanted them to know that I was Black. I wanted them to know that, you know, that I'm not, you know, this is a different wave that's coming. I'm not, because back then also the stereotype about a blogger, and I think we're beyond that now, but the stereotype about a blogger back then was they're fat, they're white,
in
the basement. That was it with their big computer.
Right.
They were comic book. They looked like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
That was
point in my mid-20s. I had grown up in, you know, the hip-hop, R&B, you know, I'm Black, I'm from the hood. We had swag, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't that. Like, I'm like, that's not me. I'm at back then, not now. But I'm like, I'm at the club. I'm the person that people want to talk to. I'm the star. I used to be a rapper, you know, like, so I had all of this, you know, mojo, so to speak. And I'm like, no. This is different. I'm gonna change the whole narrative. You know, I'm gonna be the guy that changes the stereotype, and that's what I set out to do. That I'm bold. I'm Black. You're gonna know my name. You're gonna see my face. I'm gonna be out there with people. And the most important thing was that I was always gonna put other people on, because to me, it was never just about me. It was like, how can I get more people on, you know? And as I've gotten older, that's really become my focus. I've done so many things that, you know, if I didn't do anything else starting tomorrow, I can look back and say, hey, I did more than, you know, 95% of the people on this planet in regards to the field.
Right.
So I'm good. So, like, what can I do now to, you know, help other people?
That is so wonderful. You know, something that touched me that you just said is that you wanted to change the stereotype and kind of the narrative. I just want to ask you, Robert, do you feel that you've accomplished that mission through your website?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it wasn't just me. Like I said, the way the technology and social media and all of that stuff changed, it kind of took us out of the basement
mm-hmm.
and put us in the forefront. But
right.
I could say that myself and, you know, a few others from my time were responsible for changing the narrative that a online website, an independent website, could be as credible as ESPN or SI or all of these, you know, other sites. And that's all
right.
it's about. And I think the one thing that DSO has done better than almost all of these sites, you know, that are still around, you know, the, mm-hmm. the Big Lead or Deadspin and stuff like that. The one
right.
thing I think that I've done better than all of those other sites, and they all have been successful for, you know, various reasons, that when you look at not just doing, and anybody can do a story. Like, it doesn't
right.
take a, I'll be honest with you, it don't take a lot of talent to regurgitate a story.
Right.
If LeBron is yelling at somebody or it's a dunk or somebody gets fired, it doesn't take a great writer
to make
talk
that
about
story,
that story.
Right. You're just taking the facts.
No. Right. So what I always want to do is, like, okay, people can say whatever they want about what we write and what we do, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to come from behind the computer, and I'm going to cover games, or cover fights, or cover red carpets. I'm going to have other people be beat reporters. You know, I'm going to do these other things so people can never say, well, we never see Rob. Like, that's one of the big things. Like, you know, Deadspin writes a lot of stuff, but do you know anybody from Deadspin? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they don't go outside. Like, you know, the Big Lead doesn't go outside.
Right.
I go outside. So that's why people know me so much, is they don't know BSO and me are the same. Like,
right.
that's Robert LaTap. Because mm-hmm. I've never hidden behind the just the BSO. I could, because the
right.
brand is strong. So I can just sit back. So when I'm calling out people and doing all of this other stuff, it's from a place where, like, I can show up where you're at.
Right.
Like, I could get there. You know, I could be at the game. I could be at the event. And then we could talk it out. Because I never wanted to be the guy that said, oh, yeah, this big website, like, you know, people like, you know, Media Takeout or Boss Up or all of this
right.
other stuff.
We don't know
even the guys from
who they are.
Right. Even the guy. Yeah. Even the guys from TMZ. I mean, they send out camera people. And that, I got love for TMZ. I mean, they send out camera people, but they're not at the game. You know, they're not at the fight. And that's, I think, what one of the big differences between, you know, me and a lot of others.
Well said. And, I mean, now the next question I have to ask you is, what's next for BSO? What's next for you? I mean, what can we expect?
Well, I think you're kind of already seeing it a little bit. Starting, you know, well, you know, when I moved, you know, the part of me moving was to be more involved in the entertainment side. So I think,
okay.
you know, last year what you saw was a lot more television, a lot more movies, a lot more like big time stuff, you know, like that, be it, you know, Spider-Man or Star Wars or Thor, those type of movies, or even like the smaller black movies, you know, just being more involved in the entertainment side. And also, you know, starting a radio show was
right.
a big deal as well, because now, you know, you have a daily voice that can stream to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you
right.
know, kind of
carry
that.
And I haven't
over.
Been on yet somehow, but it's okay. Go ahead.
we got to get you on. But in 2018, I think one of the things that I wanted to focus on was a more video.
Okay.
Because the thing about it is, you know, print, you know, it's always going to be a place for print. I mean, people are
right.
always going to want to go on their phone and read, you know, what's going on. But to establish yourself as a personality, which I think I've done throughout the years, but it's normally been on other people's, you know, platform as a guest or things like that.
Right.
It's also been a lot of just your voice and not your face. It's also been a lot of, you know, not your own opinions. Your own opinion, but like I said, on other people's platform. But so
mm-hmm.
what you see now is a little bit more of the BSO TV, where the, you know, the videos are accompanying the articles, kind of putting them, you know, in the same place. A lot more facial type of things, in the sense that, you know, you see me on YouTube TV channels and in studio, you know, type of stuff. So we want to move forward with that, because you never want to get comfortable. Like, I think that's the worst thing that you can do, because the thing about blogging or having a site is that there's always going to be ebb and flows, ups and downs, because you're a prisoner to the content. If there's nothing really going on exciting, people are not going to, you know, read. So you got to find other ways to help your career out, and, you know, other ways to engage, you know, an audience. And you never know who's listening. You never know who's reading. You never know who's watching. So, you know, if it's something where I'm doing a TV show, or I'm doing even just an Instagram video, you never know. It might get picked up. So maybe somebody wants to do some stuff with it. I got some meetings coming up with some people that I can hopefully, you know, branch out into some other things. I don't want to jinx it, so I don't want to talk about it. But I think the goal is now, like, take the brand, because the brand is strong, and kind of repackage it, repurpose it into something even, you know, bigger and multimedia.
Nice. So we have a lot to expect from BSO. And now, Robert, I want to hear your take. I want to get into the show, because obviously you're someone who's never been afraid to hide your opinion. So I hope you don't mind. I know you're out in L.A., but I'm going to take you back to the East Coast, because I want to get into my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. And I want to talk about what's happening in Washington, Robert. And I know you probably heard some stuff, because it's been crazy here in D.C. Of course, all talk is about Kirk Cousins, Robert, and everybody, of course, wants to know, will he return? And it's interesting, actually, this week, Albert Breer actually discussed Redskins and Kirk Cousins' situation on Fox on 92.3 in Cleveland. And he basically said, you know, the Redskins would remain hopeful in re-signing the 29-year-old quarterback, but he said they're likely to have a backup plan in place. But the part of his quote that got everybody, he said, and even last year before they tagged him, they thought, well, if we let him go to the market and try to re-sign him that way, an idea came up to them basically saying maybe they'll go ahead and sign Mike Glennon, like Mike Glennon was their backup plan. That's what he actually said on air. And everybody was like, what? Mike Glennon in Washington? So I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on Kirk Cousins and if you think he'll stay here in Washington, or do they need to be looking at Colt McCoy, the backup, more? Or do you think they really need to use their draft picks to bring in a quality quarterback just in case Kirk Cousins is not here in Washington next season?
Well, I think Kirk Cousins has always been interesting. Quarterback to me, because quarterback play in the NFL is kind of broken down into three sections. You have, like, the super elite.
Right.
I would say, you know, the Tom Brady's and, you know, the Russell Wilson's and the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Drew Brees's of the world. You have those super elite. And then you have what I like to call the trash.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, there's a lot of, and here's the weird thing about the trash. Even the trash can get to the playoffs. Cause, you know, Blake Bortles is not good, but, you know, if you got a good defense,
in the playoffs.
You know, I think someone like Marcus Mariota has a lot of upside, but it wasn't like he had the most greatest season of all time. So you have, like, this lower level. So you have an upper level and you have a pretty clear lower level. And he had these middle guys. The Kirk Cousins of the world, maybe like the Dak Prescotts of the world, where with Kirk Cousins, you get this feeling, and this is just a feeling that I have, is that he's the type of quarterback that will never be so bad that you feel like you're the, you know, the Cleveland Browns, but he'll never be so good that you feel like you're the Packers or the Seahawks or the Patriots.
Right.
So he's
describing how everyone feels here in Washington, Robert. I mean, it's like they don't know which way to go with Kirk. Right. He's not bad, but he's not the best.
Yeah, he seems like destined to get you a bunch of 9-7 seasons, maybe a playoff win here and there, but he just doesn't seem like the guy that could take a team to the Super Bowl. So the question is, what do you want if you're a Redskins fan? Do you just want to be decent for a long period of time, because you're going to pay him like a franchise guy? Do you want Matthew Stafford for the next 5, 6, 7 years. You know, Matthew Stafford has a nice stats.
Right.
He's not bad. He's not horrible.
Right.
And he's going to make the Lions. He's well paid. But the Lions, with Matt Stafford, can you just formulate your mind around, hey, that Matt Stafford's going to win a Super Bowl one day.
Right.
And I don't think he can. So the question is, do you want to pay Kirk Cousins like a Matt Stafford only to hope and pray that we're wrong and that he can take another step? What I've learned about players in general in the NFL is that they can take a leap, but with quarterbacks, at some point you kind of know what they are after a couple of years. And I think you've seen enough of Kirk Cousins to know this is who he is. So it's just a matter of you feel like that's okay to be not necessarily mediocrity, but to be just a little bit better than okay, than to start all over with someone and maybe fall off the face of the earth. So, like, I think that's what they're fighting.
Right. I mean, quarterback is always hard, but especially in a place here like D.C. where we have diehard Redskins fans that are thirsty, Robert, for a Super Bowl. And that's the question everyone has. I mean, is it worth franchising, giving him the franchise tag again for close to $35 million, which, of course, is a lot of money? Then you can't sign a lot of other guys that you need. Or do you take a chance, you know, on somebody else? So I think, you know, that's the biggest question. And then another team here in Washington, Robert, that a lot of people have questions about is the Washington Wizards. Now, Wednesday night, I mean, it was crazy to watch, but they played the depleted Utah Jazz, who had the second worst mark in the league over the last 16 games, and the Wizards lost for the 10th time against a team with a sub-500 record. So it just seems like here in Washington, basketball-wise, either we can't really get any team to be on the winning side. I mean, the Wizards are not bad. They're pretty much in the same place that they were last year. And I'm sure you can agree, Robert, most people think the Wizards will do pretty fair in the East, and you expect them to get to the playoffs, but then we don't know where they'll go from the playoffs. And, you know, there was a lot of promising words about this season. Of course, Bradley Beal has stayed healthy. John Wall's having another strong year. Otto Porter getting that big contract. But, I mean, tell me, I mean, should we be worried right now about how the Wizards are playing in the East?
I don't know if worried is the word I would use. I think sometimes you just have to accept a team is who they are.
Okay.
And the Wizards are always going to be, in my mind, the way they're kind of currently constructed, a team that you can look at and say, you know something, if they had everything together, like they really had everything together, they could be a real threat make it to the NBA Finals. But for whatever reason, they always seem a little off, either being injury or they're infighting or they're bickering with each other or the talent doesn't seem to mesh. There seems to be chemistry issues. That's just who they are.
Right.
So I think you got to continue to get what you're getting. I don't think there's going to be too much change. Now, maybe if LeBron, I think the key with all of these teams in the East, be it the Celtics, be it the Wizards, be it the Raptors, they need LeBron to go west.
Right.
If LeBron
so they can
goes
have a chance.
West, right. If LeBron goes west, I think teams like the Wizards and the Raptors and the Celtics are so close in regards to talent that you can get different teams going to the finals different years. But I don't at the moment, you can't see, even though like the Cavs are playing like crap right now, it's just very difficult to see once they're really engaged.
Right.
That a LeBron-led team is going to lose to the Wizards or lose to the Raptors. Now, the Celtics, I think, maybe have a legitimate shot. It may be competitive, especially if they get Gordon Hayward. Yeah, maybe especially if they get Gordon Hayward back at some point. But as far as the Wizards, it's like they talk a lot of talk. But to me, they're a little bit like the Portland Trail Blazers with Damian Lillard playing the role of John Wall. Like,
right.
It's a lot of talk. You know that they're good players. It's a lot of puffing their chest out. It's a lot of this and a lot of that. But it's not a lot of confidence that when push comes to shove, they're going to be able to make any noise.
And that's the problem we all have here in Washington. Of course, they are 23-18 right now. Interestingly enough, they're actually just one game better than last year's plays. And, of course, it's been 41 games through the season, but I think we all have that same question. I mean, their offensive rating right now, they're 11th best in the league. But I think the Wizards have the talent, you know, to go far in the East. But, right, it's always getting through LeBron. But now the question, Robert, that everyone's asking here in D.C. is, I mean, do you think they need to bring another superstar, you know, that we've seen all these big trades. We saw Paul George, you know, go out to OKC. I mean, do the Wizards need that type of superstar player to finally get, you know, further in the East? Or do you think, you know, they're fine with what they have and LeBron just really needs to go West for them to have a chance? Or, you know, is it pulling in another piece?
Well, see, here's the thing about bringing in the superstars and everything. Mm-hmm. There's only so many superstars to go around.
True.
And bringing in superstars doesn't necessarily guarantee success. You take look what's going on with Oklahoma City. I mean,
yeah.
sometimes it just because they're, and honestly, if you really think about it, the majority of the time when players team up like that, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
work out. Just the way basketball is only five, you know, players on the court at one time.
Right.
So when you start doing three and four, like, superstars, it's just difficult. I think the Warriors are an anomaly because if you really think about it, it's not four superstars. It's a guy that doesn't shoot in Draymond Green. Right?
Right, he's defensive.
He's all about intangibles and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. a guy in Klay Thompson. Who, if you know, you don't see Klay Thompson as a guy if you put him on another team that would be carrying the team.
Right.
So he's a good fit. He's a part and he fits well. Steph, in and of himself, was not expected to be Steph Curry. He was not.
No one knew that.
No, I mean, they thought he was going to be good, a good shooter,
right.
But not necessarily Steph Curry like he is now. So really, the only, like, day one superstar that they have is Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have one, like I said, day one megastar. You got a
right.
guy that has turned himself into a megastar, a
mm-hmm.
perfect complementary third piece, and a guy that is in Draymond Green that doesn't need to score.
Right.
So it's how it's all put together. You put Carmelo, you put Russell Westbrook, you put Paul George on the team. All three of them want to score. Doesn't
right.
mesh out well. You see,
and
what
that's
doesn't
the problem they're having.
Right. So with the Wizards, like, okay, you got John Wall, you got Bradley Beal. So you got your two cornerstones.
Right.
I mean, is Bradley Beal any different, any better, any worse than Klay Thompson? Probably not. Maybe a little
mm-hmm.
better. Right. So you got. Two guys, just like Steph, it used to be Steph and Klay. You got Wall and you got Bradley Beal. It's like, how do they play off each other? And then you put the right parts around them. You look at Houston, right? It wasn't that they brought in like nine superstars. It's that they had one legit guy in Harden.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, let's bring in a guy that doesn't need to shoot. You
right.
see what I'm saying? You bring in Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a point guard. Like, he's a pure point guard. Not
mm-hmm.
a shooting point guard. If you brought in another guy that needed 30 shots a game,
then it wouldn't have worked. Right.
It wouldn't work. You got a guy that, hey, I can pass you the ball, and now everybody's getting good looks. All the role players are getting good looks because you got two guys that are expert passers. So sometimes the answer is not, unless it's LeBron, because you can kind of pop LeBron on any team and all of a sudden they become a contender.
Right.
But you just can't say, oh, what if the Wizards got Paul George? Or what if the Wizards got, you know, DeMarcus Cousins? Look at DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. I mean, they're
right.
probably the two best front court players in the NBA, right? And
mm-hmm.
their team is average at best.
Right.
They're
and
average.
we thought we had
dominant.
Such big expectations of them.
Right. It sometimes it's not the individual talent. It's
right.
the coach. It's the scheme. It's how you – play off each other. It's the role players. Do you make the role players better? Like, I know you can get yours, but
mm-hmm.
I always say the thing about LeBron is not so much, you know, him scoring and all of that stuff, is that he makes people like J.R. Smith functional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he keeps
right.
people like Amon Shumpert in the league. Amon Shumpert is probably not even in the league if not for LeBron.
Out of
he
LeBron,
makes someone
that's
like
funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he makes someone like Kyle Korver you know, is going to get, like, so many open shots because of LeBron. That's something that Kobe used to do that he didn't get a lot of credit for. Kobe,
right.
When these guys would come to the Lakers, and, like, Shannon Brown,
mm-hmm.
and they would be functional because Kobe was always bailing them out. And then
right.
they would go to another team because people thought they were really good, and then they'd disappear.
And you saw the truth then, yep.
I mean, Kobe made Kwame Brown and Luke Walton
Brown.
And all of, yeah, he made all of these guys that weren't very good functional. He made
right.
Paul Gasol from a guy that was, like, okay to a,
right.
you know, a champion.
He became a superstar in L.A.
Right. So is John Wall that guy? Is Bradley Beal that guy that could take other guys that are not, you know, if you just left them on their own devices,
right.
decent? You know, that's the issue. So it's not as simple as let's go get a big-time, you know, free agent. It's deeper than that.
Okay. And one last question, staying on the Washington Wizards. Do you think Bradley Beal should be an all-star this year?
Considering what's out in the East, I mean, he's right there on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they just do kind of front court and back court. I was looking
right.
at I was looking at some of the voting for All-Star. He's not very high up there.
Right.
So he's not getting a lot of
he's
not getting
he's having
a lot
an amazing
support.
Season this season.
Yeah, I looked at, let's see, I looked at this. He's like a number 9
mm-hmm.
out the backcourt. And John Wall is number 6. I mean, he's not getting a ton, you know, of support, but, you know, he can get picked. You know,
right.
and something else. I think Bradley Beal and John Wall are who they're going to be. So what you're getting
right.
right now is what you're going to get for the next 5 to 10 years or whatever is going to be.
Right, there's no growth.
So it's like, right. I mean, maybe there's a little growth. I mean, but I don't think Bradley Beal is all of a sudden going to turn into Kevin Durant or James Harden or anything like that. I think he is. He's Bradley Beal, so he's going to get you your 20, you know, a couple of assists, a couple of boards, and he's basically Paul George. I mean, he's basically kind of right in that type of deal. He's Klay Thompson, that type of guy. So
right.
the question is, you know, is he all-star? He's always going to be on the cusp of that, you know, where he can go either way. It just kind of depends because you got – if you just look at the guards, you figure, you know, you're going to get Kyrie.
Right.
You're going to get probably, you know, DeMar DeRozan is up there.
Mm-hmm.
John Wall is up there.
Right.
You know, Ben Simmons.
Such good guard play in the East.
Yeah. Yeah, and my thing is, like, do you take someone like, you know, Victor Oladipo, who, you know, had a really
right.
good year in the Pacers. So he's always going to be in the mix, but he's never going to be a no-brainer.
Right. I think that's the problem he's had his entire career, you know, trying to become on that next level. But, you know, we'll see. Only time will tell. I know he wants to go out to L.A. and the Wizards are trying to push for that. But we will keep an eye on that. And now I want to move to my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment, Robert, where, of course, everyone's talking about the NFL playoffs that will happen this weekend. Of course, we have on Saturday, we'll have in the NFC, Atlanta taking on Philly. And then in the AFC, we'll have Tennessee taking on New England. And then on Sunday in the AFC, we'll have Jacksonville taking on Pittsburgh. And in the NFC, New Orleans taking on Minnesota. Now, many people are, you know, found this round very interesting, basically because there'll be 4 future Hall of Fame quarterbacks who many think will advance against these other quarterbacks that, you know, just haven't had the best season. But I don't even know if we should talk about Tennessee, New England, Robert. Does Tennessee have any chance to beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots?
I mean, I've learned never to say, you know, never.
Never.
With these type of games. I mean, it's an uphill climb for Tennessee. The thing about the Titans are, you know, the talent is there.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching, I think, is a little, you know, off. Going on, and, you know, who knows what type of confidence. But, I mean, Kansas City is a tough place to play at on the road, in the cold.
Right.
You know, down 21-3. I mean, that gives you a little, that should give you some confidence.
Yeah, some confidence, right.
You know, so, I mean, I always say with games like this, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So you should come in loose, You should come in, you know, like, why not us? You know, nobody thinks we're going to win anyway. So why not? I think, like I said, sometimes the coaching sometimes holds them back. They have a quarterback that's kind of better as a freelancer than, you know, your traditional just drop back and do all of this stuff. So I think if, you know, they let him loose, they let Mariota loose, like, look, this is your show. Run, do whatever you got to do, improvise.
Right.
The Patriots have had issues over the years and this year with quarterbacks that can move around. Their defense has not been great the entire year. They had a good spell there in the middle, but at the beginning and toward the end, it was still looking a little shaky. It's one of those type of things where when a team like the Titans or a game like this, just hang around. You know what I'm saying? The more you hang around, the more pressure is on the Patriots and the less pressure on you. So if they can go blow for blow in the first half, you know, keep it close, you know, stay within reach, then anything can happen as it goes in. So that's one of the type of games where the first quarter, first half,
It'll determine the game.
Yeah, if the Patriots get up 21-3, you know, the game's over. This is not the Chiefs.
Right.
You know, but if it's 10-7, it's 10-10, at that point, you know, you never know what might happen.
I mean, that one, I'm like you. I mean, I think still watch it. But, of course, I mean, when you are going against the Patriots, I mean, like you said, I think it will be determined the first half, but you always have to be safe. I think if Tennessee can protect the ball and not have turnovers, they might have a chance to actually win. But out of all the underdogs, Robert, only the Vikings are favored to win, according to Vegas, of course, because they earned the NFC's number 2 seed, and they earned a first-round bye, and, of course, they have home field advantage for this week. But they are playing the Saints, Robert. And, of course, if you watch the Saints, that man, Alvin Kamara, is the real deal. And the Saints have just really been rolling, even though last week, of course, they did just survive the Panthers. I think the Panthers kind of beat themselves. But just tell me, what are you thinking about the Vikings and Saints game? And, you know, who do you have as the winner?
Well, I like the Saints. I've said that I think the Saints are going to roll this all the way to the Super Bowl in the sense that because, first off, it's in the dome. Even though it's cold in Minnesota, you put the Saints in the dome, that things are going to be good. So I think, you know, and what I've talked about these playoff games is that, like you talked about right at the beginning, is the quarterback.
Right.
You know, I always try to tell people that in the NFL, you don't necessarily, like, your quarterback doesn't have to be great. He has to be hot at this time. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, Joe Flacco is not great, but he would get hot in the playoffs.
Right.
So the question is, who are these guys in the playoffs right now that can get hot? And I think that's what you saw with the Rams last week. They got a new, you know, not a rookie, but a young guy. He wasn't ready. You know, he's not ready for that type of spotlight. Now, Case Keenum has done an excellent job. Is he ready for the spotlight? Now, if Case Keenum can get hot, they can roll this all the way up. But this is different.
And Case
this
Keenum has great playmakers around him.
Yeah.
You know, to make
Case Keenum, this is the first time that Case Keenum has ever been in a game, in a situation, probably since college, where his team was expected to win. It was going to be on his shoulders.
Right.
And he has to put it up. Drew Brees has been through this 100 times. So. Mm-hmm. Is Case Keenum going to break? That's how I'm making my decision. You know, I'm not saying he is going to break. I'm just saying if I had to bet, I'm betting on Drew Brees. If this was if it was still Minnesota outside, I would go with Minnesota because I don't think the Saints play well in outdoors in bad weather and stuff. Even when it's not cold, you saw how they was in Tampa Bay. But you put them in that dome, you put them on turf, that's a totally different thing. So I like the Saints in that game.
Okay, and now, you know, let's keep rolling. I want to talk about the Eagles, who, of course, everyone was talking about this whole season, but then, of course, the injury to Carson Wentz happened, and now we're seeing Nick Foles, and I just want to know, they're playing the Falcons team, and I don't think the Falcons have been as strong as they could be, but they still have been playing some good football. But do you think Nick Foles is the right man to get the Eagles past this divisional round?
Same situation. It may be even more dire for the Eagles. Like, I have much more confidence in Case Keenum than I do in Nick Foles. And you got the Falcons coming in there. The Falcons, say whatever you want to say about them. You can't say that they're not playoff tested, even though they blew leads. But, you know, my thing, if you're the Falcons, Like, it can't get any worse than blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. So
right. They
have, you know, they got to come in there really, like, what can you say to them that hasn't already been said? So I think they come in with a lot of confidence. I think the Eagles are a classic example of a team that peaked too early. We see that all the time. Since I've been watching football since I was a little kid, what you don't want as a team is a team that gets off to like those 9-1, 10-2 starts, and then for whatever reason, and this reason being injury, you start to level out toward the end of the year. So their record is beautiful. But if you actually watch them play the last 2 or 3 weeks, since Wentz has been hurt, they don't look like a number one seed. So there's no fear from the Falcons going in there. Like I said, it's outside now, so it's outside, and that's always an element to it. It's going to be probably pretty cold in Philadelphia. But my second pick would be the Falcons upsetting, even though I wouldn't even really call it an upset, upsetting the Eagles.
All right. Well, I know Philly fans won't be too happy with you, but hey, I mean, that's your choice and that's your pick. And now I want to talk about the Steelers and the Jaguars. Now, this is a game I know a lot of people will have eyes on because, Robert, if you remember back, the Steelers really want to rebound after the 30-9 whooping they took from the Jaguars all the way back in Week 5. And that was the game, remember, when Big Ben threw 5 interceptions, and that included 2 pick sixes. And then you really thought, looking at Ben, that he was Blake Bortles. I mean, watching that game. But, I mean, do you think this team has changed? Do they have what it takes to beat this Jacksonville Jaguars team whose defense has been so impressive this season?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. Here's the thing. Jacksonville, without a doubt, has a Super Bowl defense. That's defense that can win the Super Bowl. I've seen defense, and you've seen defenses win Super Bowls. They're few and far between. You know, going back to the 2000 Ravens, I think it was 2015 Broncos. You've seen defenses win, the 86 Bears. You've seen defenses basically carry teams to Super Bowl wins when a quarterback play has been less than stellar. Now, the thing about teams like the Ravens back then and the Broncos is while the quarterbacks were bad, they weren't so bad that they cost their teams the games.
Right.
So they were just kind of functional. So really that's all what they need from Blake Bortles is they don't need 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. What they need from Blake Bortles is functionality. Pick up a third down here and there.
No turnovers.
Make a clutch play. No turnovers. No fumble. Make a clutch play. Keep field position in their favor. And they may need him to make a play in the fourth quarter. That's what quarterbacks get paid the big bucks for. But what they don't need is him to put them in a hole, to make them deal with a short field. Because here's the thing about great defenses, if they have to be out on the field, I don't care how great they are, if they're out on the field for a long period of time, they're gonna wilt. Now, the thing is, Ben Roethlisberger threw 5 interceptions in that first game. That's likely not going to happen again. You got to get Antonio Brown back. You got Le'Veon Bell. It's a totally different Steelers team. Now, they are susceptible on defense. So the question is, can Blake Bortles just generate enough offense to keep his defense fresh and give them an opportunity to try to control the game? I just don't think he can do it. That's the thing.
Right.
That's my problem. I don't think that it's going to be a blowout or any of all this stuff. I just think when push comes to shove in the playoffs, scoring 10 points is not going to get it done. Scoring 13 points is not going to get it done. It's just too much pressure on the Jags defense to do everything. And if you watch the Jags this last month, since Blake Bortles had that one good – he had the one good month where he had like 3 games in a row. But since then, the defense is on the field the entire time. They scored one offensive touchdown. Yeah, they scored one offensive touchdown in like the last like 12 quarters. That's not going to get
crazy.
It done.
Right.
That's not going to get it done. You can't expect the defense to keep bailing you out. They bailed them out 100 times.
Right.
They bailed them out 100 times. I don't know if they can bail them out again. So either Blake Bortles is going to play the game of his life, and which I think they would have an excellent chance of winning, or he's going to prove that he's Blake Bortles and, you know, they're not – This is not the Buffalo Bills that he's going up against. So I'm going to take the Steelers, mainly because I don't believe in Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles. I mean, you and a lot of other people don't. But, hey, he might surprise us, you know. I don't know. He might be going
you
to church
know.
And some praying and might surprise us all come playoffs this weekend. Now I want to move to biggest headlines in sports, Robert, where the biggest news that came out Thursday was Le'Veon Bell and threatening to leave the Steelers because of this franchise tag conversation. Now, of course, Le'Veon Bell has been considered by some to be one of the best, most versatile running backs in the entire football league. But next year he could be done with it all. Basically, he said he could sit out the 2018 season or retire from football if the team tries to get him to play another season under the franchise tag. This was first reported by ESPN. He's currently making $12.1 million this season after the Steelers designated him with the franchise tag in the offseason. Now, I don't think I need to get into his stats because if you've been watching football, you know how great that he's been playing. But tell me, what are you kind of thinking of, you know, Le'Veon Bell threatening the Steelers of not wanting to play under the franchise tag again?
Well, it's not necessarily Le'Veon Bell's fault, but it's NFL players' fault.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only league, and they're the most violent. They're the most violent team sport in the country.
Right.
But they're the only league that doesn't have guaranteed contracts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let just to give you just an example of how absurd the NFL collective bargaining agreement is in comparison to the NBA collective bargaining agreement, just look at it like this. If Le'Veon Bell was a basketball player,
mm-hmm.
and he was coming up to free agency,
right.
the way the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA is set up, the Steelers would have the ability to pay him much more money much more money than any
mm-hmm.
other team, or Le'Veon Bell would be free to go to another team with less years and less money if that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
In the NFL, Le'Veon Bell, who's outperformed his rookie contract, has the inability
mm-hmm.
to be a free agent, and
right.
the team can pay him less guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
And he may hurt himself. He could
True.
Be injured tomorrow.
Right.
Hey, you look at someone like Ryan Shazier.
Yes.
Career is probably over. And,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, that's it. Like, that is a legitimate fear for every NFL, you know, player. If
right.
Gordon Hayward never played again in the NBA, now he's going to come back. I'm just using this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon Hayward never played again in the NBA. He still get his $100 million.
Right.
So he's going to be good. If
mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell had an injury so severe that he couldn't play again this week, like say it happened this week.
Right.
This is it. There's no more money.
And that's
There's
so
no
scary
more
to
money
think
because,
about.
Right, because that's what the franchise tag is. Think about
right.
it. Gordon Hayward, first game, first quarter, of his
yes.
new deal
mm-hmm.
breaks his leg.
Right.
And if he never played again, if he said, you know something, it's too horrific, I can't do it again, he would get paid every single dollar of his contract because that's
right.
how contracts are supposed to work. If you get hurt while you're playing, they got to pay you out. In the NFL, if you have a long-term deal, say you had a deal that was 5 years, 80 million,
right.
and on the first day of that deal, you broke your leg or whatever, you can never play again. You only
mm-hmm.
get what's injury guaranteed. And that could be $10 million, that could be $20 million, that could be $5 million. You don't get the $80 million. So I feel what Le'Veon Bell is saying, but it's their fault, the players. Not his
mm-hmm.
fault specifically, but
right.
the players entered into this agreement to where it makes no sense. Like, people say, well, guaranteed contracts would ruin the NFL. No, what it would do is it would force owners to actually pay players what they think they're actually worth, as opposed to these fake contracts
mm-hmm.
where they say it's $100 million, but in the back of their mind, they know, hey, we can cut this guy after 2 years and only have to pay
right.
$20 million.
Exactly.
That's
right.
So if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I get it. Le'Veon Bell had 400 touches
mm-hmm.
this year. He's a running back. I don't care how great of a running back you are, your shelf life is 8 to 10 years at best.
Right.
If you don't get paid in those 8 to 10 years, you know, all you're gonna be is a running back with some bad knees and not enough money to last you for the rest of your life. So if you give me 400 touches, I'm your second leading receiver, your number one runner.
Right.
I'm blocking for Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger has a $150 million contract.
Right.
You know, I get what he's saying. Now, I don't believe him because.
So you think he'll be back? Right. So he's going to just do what he needs to do.
I mean, he said, look, some people are legit like that. Like, some people manage their money well. I know he's made about $15, $16 million. I don't know what his lifestyle is. But I do know that NFL players, because they don't make as much as NBA or MLB or soccer players or any pretty much team sport, they're more likely to come back because they need the money. Point blank. It's so weird to me because I would see a very all-pro NFL player, and they announce his contract, and it'd be something like, 5 years, $60 million, $20 million, you know, guaranteed. And everybody's clapping and excited. That's the same type of money that Swaggy P makes with the Warriors.
Isn't that crazy? That's just crazy.
That's the same money that, like Lou Will makes with the Clippers. Like, it's the star players make six-man players, NBA players' salary. They may not even get it all.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's not guaranteed.
It's just crazy. It's great. Like, these are the all-pro players. Like,
wow.
The all-pro players are getting less money than Andrew Bogut. You know, Steph Curry is, if Steph Curry is worth $200 million, what's Tom Brady worth? You know, like, it's just, it's mind-boggling, to me that your star players in the NFL make bench players money in the NBA. And this is the sport that brings in billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. So they have the money.
Right.
It's not like people say, well, they only play 60. No, they have the money because they have the biggest contract. I'm not saying everybody, like, I understand, like, everybody can't get LeBron money in the NFL because it's 54 players or whatever. But look at it like this. What would you rather have? Would you rather say, hey, I know that I'm going to make 5 years and $50 million regardless of what's happening, or I'm going to announce a contract that's 5 years, $100 million, but only $15 million is guaranteed, and it's quite possible that something was to happen, and after the second year, that's all I'm getting is $15. I want to know what I'm getting when I put pen to paper. And until NFL players change that, you know, they're going to end up with the same problems that they've been having.
Right. So this won't be the last we hear of players kind of making this complaint and this argument. And we talked about Kirk Cousins again, basically, the franchise tag argument. So it'll keep coming up again and again and again. But now, Robert, I want to move over to Europe, and I want to talk about the Ball brothers in Lithuania, which I'm sure you've gotten so many questions and tweets about. But basically, LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball actually did pretty well in their debut in Lithuania, scoring 29 points. LiAngelo of 19, the youngest one, actually scored 19 points. He was 8 of 19 shooting, while LaMelo, 16, I'm sorry, that's the youngest one, had 10 points and 9 assists. But he actually turned the ball over 6 times. That's probably the only negative point. But people weren't even really talking about their play. They were talking about, Robert, how the refs had on big baller brand gear. Oh. And then, of course, their logo was on the court. So just tell me your overall thoughts overall about everything that happened in Lithuania with LeVar Ball and his sons.
Well, you know, I think with LeVar Ball, I think it's gotten a little out of control.
Okay.
In the sense that not so much what LeVar is doing. I think LeVar's a promoter, and he's promoting things. The one thing I don't like some of the terminology and some of the words that the media and some of the coaches, the NBA coaches, are saying. They call LeVar things like a threat. They called him a cancer. These type of words should be reserved for people like the president. You know, people that have like a real effect on society. Criminals and things like that. You don't call a guy that just talks loud threat or cancer. We're talking a guy that took care of his whole entire family when their mom had a stroke, a cancer. That's not cool. I can understand not agreeing with some of LeVar's decision. I mean, his kids are in Lithuania. I can understand a lot of people saying, you know, a 16-year-old and 19-year-old probably shouldn't be over in Russia or whatever playing basketball. But I try to tell people this, and I knew this before I moved to L.A., but I still try to explain it to people, is that celebrity kids are different than you and I, okay?
Okay.
16-year-old us going to high school, probably we needed to do that because we needed the growth and maturity. The 19-year-old you and me need to go to college to learn things, to grow up, to learn how to be adults. LaMelo and LiAngelo are more popular than a lot of NBA players.
Isn't that crazy?
They don't live a they don't live a standard life. There's not the same rules. You know, I hate to bring up the Kardashians, but it's like saying Kylie Jenner needs to go to high school. No, she don't. Kylie Jenner makes $18 million a year. What does she got? High school for what? Like, if I was making $18 million a year, I wouldn't go to high school. I mean, I don't have to read friends or anything. Right, she got friends. They're celebrities.
Right.
If you can read and you can write and you can use a calculator, that's pretty much it. That's the thing about school. They don't tell you. The only things you need from school is learn how to read, learn how to write, and know how to use a calculator. If you can do those things, you can pretty much live life and be okay. That, the thing about school, I always said, it's more about growth. It's about learning to deal with people and stuff like that. It's not necessarily about everything. Because honestly, go to anybody that's been to college, been to high school. Ask anybody that's over 30.
Okay.
Do you remember anything like educational-wise from high school?
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to say no. Like, I don't remember any class from high school. I remember, like, I took a French class, I think. Like, people don't remember. You know what they remember about high school? The boyfriends, the girlfriends, prom, the parties.
Right. The fun stuff.
The fun stuff. Nobody takes with them that statistics class that they had first period in college freshman year 5 years later. They're not thinking about that. Like, there are obviously things in school that you take with you. Like, if you want to be, obviously, a journalist, maybe you remember things from journalism class, but you don't remember anything from American history class. You don't remember anything from statistics class. You don't remember anything from, you know, the black family class. Like, you just remember the stuff that's important to you once you moved on in life. You know, if you're a lawyer,
you remember stuff.
Right. You don't remember that. If you're a lawyer, nothing in high school meant anything. If you were smart, you got through class, but you had to go to law. There's a reason there's law school, because you need to go to law. Not, you know, that. So a doctor goes to medical school because there's only so much you can learn with general education. So with LaMelo and LiAngelo, they're different. They're not like us. They're not like regular kids. They don't need the things that a regular kid would need because they're famous.
Right.
And when 150,000 people are watching a live stream on a random afternoon, that lets you know how famous they are. So, like I said, I don't agree with some of the things that LeVar said. I don't think he should be picking on Luke Walton.
A lot of coaches didn't like that. And there was, of course, media who didn't like that, you know. And people are basically saying, Robert, that, you know, they don't even want any dealings with him. And he's almost, in a sense, been blacklisted, you know, in some coaches' eyes.
Right. And that's the thing, though. They want to silence him. And that's a problem for me, because when loud black men talk, a lot of times it scares people, and they try to suppress it. Instead of just talking about it intelligently, like, you can intelligently say, you know something, he probably shouldn't say that because, you know, it puts extra pressure on his kid. It's not hard to say, but instead they call him names, and the names that they call him is what they've always called loud black men. And honestly, if LaVar Ball was white, they wouldn't be saying this. It just wouldn't be the case. He'd be called an innovator. He would be called a genius. And he'd be called a lot of different things. The adjectives would be different because look how they talked about President Obama, who was essentially perfect, and how they try to defend Donald Trump, who's a mess. I always talk about something called margin of error, when it comes to color. When you're black, your margin of error is so low that, you know, you have to almost be perfect in pretty much every industry. Whereas white males specifically, their margin of error is so wide that they could do almost anything and ascend all the way to the presidency. So LaVar Ball, it can't be controlled. And so he's getting pushback from that because they like to control black men. But he just doesn't have it. So we have to see how it plays out because, unfortunately, like what we saw with Colin Kaepernick, is the white people still have the power. So if they, you know, Lonzo is going to be okay. He's already in the NBA.
Right.
But how does this affect LaMelo, who really has, like, NBA, you know, an NBA prospect down the road? Is anybody going to want to go anybody want to go to deal with LiAngelo because of the dad? So we have to see how it works, you know, down the road. But I don't like some of the words that they use against them.
You know, and I think the wording is everything because I know on Twitter on Thursday you actually got into it with Will Cain, of course, who everybody knows. And just, I mean, tell me how did you guys essentially get into the argument, and what was the point that you were trying to make to him?
Well, you know, I don't watch, you know, First Take.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched First Take since Jalen Rose called Skip Bayless water pistol.
Oh, my gosh. Who could forget
Pete,
that?
Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and then they tried to ban Jalen from the show. So I don't watch, but I'm a media guy. So people send me clips and stuff all the time, and if they're newsworthy, you know, I write about them. That's just part of the job. So someone sent me a clip of this guy, Will Cain. Now, I've known about Will Cain for years. I knew that the reason that ESPN brought in Will Cain is because of the backlash they were getting from Trump supporters, that they were too liberal. And Will Cain is a conservative that talks about sports. So they brought him in to kind of be the, you know, the other side of the debate. So when they have these racial debates on there, they don't want their main guys to seem like Trump supporters, so they bring in Will Cain. And that's why you see Will Cain on The Six with, like, Michael and Jamel, not because they want him on there, because ESPN thinks, hey, it's too black, so we got to have some opposite sides. And that's why he's on First Take. He's on First Take to be the guy that talks about black people. So I knew that a long time ago. So that wasn't like that didn't just happen today. So I knew that a long time ago. But they showed me this clip, and the clip basically was like a 2-minute clip of Will Cain name calling LaVar Ball. Cancer, buffoon, carnival barker, fraud, blah, 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 all of these names. And I replied to the person that sent the clip that, listen, you got to understand. And I wasn't like being belligerent. I wasn't, you know, being upset or anything. I just said, look, you got to understand, Will Cain was brought in to be the MAGA guy for ESPN, to be the Trump guy from ESPN. So you got to take these things with a grain of salt, because that's just his job. That's what he is. That's an actual fact. Like, it's not even a fact in the sense that people at ESPN has told me this, because they have. It's a fact that even people at ESPN have said this, Dan Le Batard and others. So these are facts. And so he tried to call me a liar, which is, you know, is that what you want to do?
Right.
Oh, you're a liar, you're sloppy, you don't know who I support, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, you want to call me a liar, that's fine. All right. When people do that, I'm not really, and I didn't say anything bad about him. I just said that this is what's happening. So I'm like, okay,
right.
You want a name call and everything. I'm very much, you know, I'm from St. Louis. People do stuff like that. You know, you got to be ready to
right.
Like
you
weren't having it. My mom always said, listen, son, you know, don't start stuff. You know, don't start it, but finish it. You know, you gotta stand up for yourself.
Right.
And it's my credibility at stake, you know, when people call me a liar. So I had to start, you know, pulling out the truth. Some of the things that he said in the past, why he's at ESPN, and to let him know that, and I always tell this to anybody that has problem with anything that's said, because I never have a problem with anything that I say online. So if I say it online, that means I'm willing to, you know, come to wherever you at and say it to your face. That's why I don't name call people. That's why, like, I don't, like, you know, I don't call people names because I know if I wouldn't call them a name if I was just standing next to them. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I wouldn't call anybody the B word or this, or I'm going to punch you in the face. I know I'm not going to do that, so I'll say that. But if I say that, hey, this is why you put on the network to do this and that, I would say that to you, to your face. And so that's what I told him. I said, if you want, you know, like the kids say, you want this smoke, you know, I can come to your show or whatever, and we can talk about it. And I would, and then you can call me a liar. Which
right.
is fine. I respect it more if you call it to me on my face. You know.
Than just saying it online. Right.
Right, that's the thing. Like, I get we all online and we're all saying stuff online. I get that. But if you want to disagree with me, that's fine. But if we both work in, you know, in the media and have the ability to, you know, do the, you know, talk, then I feel like we should do it. And like they always do when I do that, they end up backing down. So he backed down and started deleting tweets and started stuff like that because he knew the truth. You know, he didn't want to. That was all it was. He just didn't want people to know the truth. And when I told him the truth, he freaked out. But, you know, it is what it is.
Wow. Well, you know, I had to address it, and I'm glad that you were open and honest about it. But, you know, I like that everyone, all the listeners are hearing that, you know, if you're going to say it to you, I mean, be ready basically to take the heat, especially as a journalist. And, you know, it'll be interesting. Honestly, Robert, I would love to see you go head-to-head with him on First Take or anything, honestly. I think that would be a fireworks show, and it would just be interesting to see how he handles your comments. But, wow, I mean, we've had such an action-packed show, Robert. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a blast. I know you're super busy and you're out in L.A., so you're on L.A. time. So thanks for accommodating us East Coasters over here. But for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with K&N from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with K&N, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.